Good morning, everyone. Bonjour et bienvenue. Welcome. Happy to see everybody here this morning for what should be a fantastic chat. The last couple nights, we've had these wonderful events here at SoccerX with some fantastic football. And it all been part of an incredible qualifying campaign towards a wonderful tournament, with apologies to our friends from Holland, of course. Perhaps they haven't enjoyed it as much, but it has been fantastic, and we're all looking forward to a fantastic European Championships tournament next summer in France. So today we're here to chat about the tournament itself, the state of French football, and what the tournament hopefully will mean legacy-wise for football in France after next summer. Gentlemen, if you would, I'd like you to each introduce yourself, tell a bit about what you do, please. Okay.
So I'm Victoriano Melero. I'm the deputy CEO of the French Federation, in charge notably all the public affairs, international affairs of the French FA.
My name is Alain Belser, and I'm the chairman of the Stadia Strategic Committee of the French Football League.
And I'm Mathieu Ficot. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer of the French Football League. So in charge, as you can imagine, to increase the revenues of the French football, professional football, and to work on the image of the French professional football.
Fantastic. Thank you. Happy to have you here. Before we launch into this, we love to keep it very timely here at SoccerX, as you've heard. And today, if not, it's already happened, His Royal Highness Prince Ali apparently is going to announce his presidency or his candidacy for president of FIFA. He'll be running against somebody you all know, Monsieur Platini. First of all, do you expect Platini to win the election?
Of course. Do you expect a no from us? No, man, to take your chance.
I would like to call my bookkeeper, so I'm hoping you can help me make some money. If he does win, as some expect him to, what does that mean for French football?
Pride.
Okay.
I think we discussed together, we don't expect any favor. I think Platini, as the president of UEFA, has not done any specific favor to French football in relation to the financial fair play, which I will not personally comment. It is just what I meant is that we are proud to have some French executive, but they are above the nations. I mean, they represent football internationally, and I think he does a great job, and that's why he has his fair chances to then go from UEFA to FIFA.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to add, I think that having Michel Platini at the FIFA, it would be good for football. So, of course, it would be very good for French football. Mm-hmm. I think that the main point that, as mentioned by Mathieu, he did an excellent job at UEFA, and there is no reason why he should not be able to do the same at the FIFA level.
Wonderful. Before we talk about the tournament, as I mentioned, let's talk a bit about French football. Mathieu, if you'd like to start, could you talk about the state of Ligue 1 right now and how things are?
It's not a tricky question, but I don't know if we can talk about Big Four or Big Five. I mean, in French football, we tend to talk about Big Five. And we heard that on the market now you talk about Big Four. But we do hope to be competitive. We know our constraints, we know our hinders in terms of taxes. You know, Paris Saint-Germain, they pay more or less an aggregate amount of social charges that all the Bundesliga clubs pay. So we know our challenges. We know our weaknesses in terms of stadium. We know also our weaknesses in terms of international development. We don't benefit from the same, let's say, market specificities in Latin America or that EPL benefits with the Commonwealth, but we are trying to do our best. We know that we have a huge potential, and we'll talk about it with the Euro and all the infrastructures, because now we'll benefit from a lot of fully renovated or brand new stadium, and Alain would say a word about it. We are trying to work hard to address our clients' needs internationally. We have the Trophée des Champions every year in different parts of the world. In Asia, in America, we're trying to set up some football academies in the States. We're trying to work with our partner, Bein Media Group, in Asia, notably. We don't have the culture to internalize and to grow within the league. I mean, I don't want to further comment, but I know that EPL or Bundesliga or now our Spanish friends, I heard that Mr. Tebas made a great presentation yesterday. They invest massively. We took the decision to work with Bein Media Group, and they will help us not only in terms of trading. I mean, of course, we have a trading agreement with them, but we will they will help us to grow and to address our clients' needs editorially, content-wise. We will launch next year an online digital platform with 30 years of archives, all the French Ligue 1 matches will be available live. Online, and to provide additional content to our clients domestically. Of course, and we will talk about it with the Euro legacy. We are working also hard to increase the fans' experience, because we know that we are pretty late. The Germans, notably, have done a wonderful job after the World Cup 2006. So it's also an ongoing project within the league, how to help the clubs. I mean, I don't want to blame our presidents, but they think short term, because they are under huge pressure to stay in Ligue 1, because we have many experiences where structured Ligue 1 clubs, when they go down to Ligue 2, more or less they die if they don't go up immediately the next season. So they really focus all their efforts, and they put a lot of money in the squad, and they forget a little bit all the marketing and commercial development and all the investments that football need in terms of football academies, but also in terms of fans' experience and marketing to try to attract new publics in our stadiums.
Okay, you mentioned...
Just to add to what Mathieu just said, the Football League created the Stadium Strategic Committee 2.5 years ago, which I'm proud to chair. Mainly not to repeat what we did with the 1998 World Cup, which we did stage, which we did win. But when we did build only one new stadium, which was the Stade de France, and there was no real legacy after that. To take some figures, in the year 2000, the average spectators in our top league was around 22,000. In Germany, it was about 28,000. So a difference, but not a big difference. And in 2012, we still were on 19,000 in average in our top league, where the Germans had grown up to 45,000. What's the difference? Well, the difference is that when they organized the 2006 World Cup, they did build new stadia, and they knew and they've been able to use those stadia and improve their business.
Okay. Matthew, you talked about the big four, big five, obviously talking about England, Spain, Germany, Italy. The journalists in the past week who've been covering the transfer market, for the record, they still call it the big five when they were talking about the Premier League buying everybody. But you had mentioned before attendance, obviously before stadiums, and we'll talk about stadiums in a minute, but you do have a good attendance story to tell, yeah? France has just surpassed Serie A, is that correct?
Yeah.
Just last year.
Yeah.
We did, for the first time in many years, finished in the top four rather than in the top five.
So maybe it is a
big
five.
So that's an improvement. That's an improvement.
Yeah. You know, on the international side, I might say that there are two really drivers. The performances of our clubs in Champions League and Europa League, and the statistics are awful for the last decade. If you dig a little bit, France had only one semi-finalist. I think it was in 2008 when Lyon reached the semi-final. And then for the rest, we have no team who have reached this level of the competition, neither in Champions League or in Europa League, for the last 10 years. And the second driver is the football stars. And when I negotiated quite hard with the Qataris for to increase our minimum guarantees, they just told me, look, I'm sorry, Mathieu, I mean, we have some sympathy for France, but Messi and Ronaldo, they play in Spain, not in France. And that's true that these are the real drivers. So for us, of course, we know that we benefit from Paris Saint-Germain, and it's really a unique opportunity for us. We hope that we'll be able to attract new investors because we know that we need investors to attract really huge players. That will be our chances, and to also have really strong performances in the European competitions. From a domestic perspective, we are lucky enough to have not a monopoly situation and to have two, potentially three bidders for our domestic rights. We have also to say that we suffer from some economic crisis in France. Yesterday I just landed and I took some cash, and then I realized that the euro was 1.5 vis-a-vis the British pound. And not some long time ago, we were close to parity. So, I mean, if you compare also the turnovers of Sky, which is more or less beyond 10 billion euro per year, Canal Plus, which is our main client, yearly turnover is 1.8 billion euro. So the ratio is a concern, and we just have to acknowledge that we are at a level, and we just need to work hard and try to increase everywhere we can. But I mean, it's not to protect myself, but I don't want to try to compare the French league with the EPL or not with the Spanish league. We are so far away that we have to focus on our immediate next steps, which is, as we say, to address our clients internationally and to increase the image of the French Football League, and to hope also for very good performances of our clubs in European competitions. And just to finish, I just want to enhance also that with Alain, we are trying to really build a system, a centralized system. I don't know if you're familiar with NBA Timbo, which is a kind of commercial support service for the NBA teams, and we are trying to implement it in France in order to that the league centralize the best practices and circulate them within the clubs and try to push the clubs to invest also in marketing and commercial staff, again, to attract new publics and new fans in stadiums, because as a matter of fact, we have at the moment a potential of more or less 10 million persons who go to stadium or are willing to go to stadium.
You mentioned how PSG and your teams do abroad in the Champions League and Europa League, etc. How important is that compared to keeping the bottom teams competitive as well? Yeah. I mean, is it better to have the super clubs going abroad and doing well, or?
Well, from a domestic perspective, it's a bit of a concern to have a team really dominating the league. But the Germans, they do well, and Bayern Munich was champions, I don't know, 10 to 15, I mean, match day was 24, yeah. I think. So still more or less 15 match day to run, and they were already champions. Juve is dominating massively, of course, Real and Barca. So, no, it's not really a big issue from an international perspective, because you need a driver, and Paris Saint-Germain is definitely a driver. What we want to achieve is a situation like in UK, where you have four or five teams potentially able to be champions. No, the main concern is the ratio between the domestic revenues and the Champions League revenues, where for the very first time last year, Paris Saint-Germain got more money from UEFA than they got from the league, and this is a bit of a concern. But it's not a French concern. I think it concerns all the leagues where the ratio between the domestic revenues and the Champions League revenues came from maybe 1-10 up to 1-5 or 4. Now, and that could be a real issue, because then you will have the Champions League teams and the rest of the league.
Gentlemen, we touched on the Premier League a little bit in the transfer market. There was a lot of talk in the media as the transfer window closed, a lot of comments from presidents of French clubs. One of them said it was crazy, the spending. One of them compared it to El Dorado, as far as what it's like out there now with the Premier League clubs coming in and spending so much money. What are your thoughts on that, on what that means for French clubs? Is that good? Is that bad?
Well, I would say that now in our in French clubs' P&L, you have merchandising, you have ticketing, hospitality, you have media revenues, and then you have a new pillar, which is EPL. Thank you very much.
But it's new. Just to add on that one, it's not a new trend. What is new, it's the amount. But if you look for the past season, for example, France is the first country in terms of players playing abroad. So that's not new. What is new, it's just the amount.
Yeah.
But that's due also to the domestic TV market in England. So, and that's just to see it also on the positive side. It's also the demonstration of how well we are performing in terms of training of players. So, and that's because of all our organization and the know-how of the federation, the clubs, and the league.
And the problem is the business model of our clubs, because they generate huge operating losses. So how do they cover the gap? By transfer fees? Or if they don't get enough in terms of the transfer fees, it's the shareholders who have got to put money into the club. So what we have to do, and that's what the aim of the Football League is, to bring more spectators in our stadia who pay more. At the moment, the French League One clubs generate just 10% of their revenues for playing games, which is their core business, whereas in England or Germany, it's nearly 25%.
Yeah.
As Victorino said, it's a market trend. For us, it's more an opportunity for our clubs. You know, the first reaction where EPL, you know, struck his incredible deal of €2 billion per season with Sky and BT, a lot of clubs present were very concerned. And then they realized that it was more an opportunity than a threat. I think it's a real threat for Paris Saint-Germain to less extend all the clubs aiming to play Champions League, because it will be much more difficult for them to attract the best players, because then they will have really strong competitors and really strong teams. But that does not apply to Nantes, Bordeaux, Rennes, or all the other teams who play in France, and they will play amongst them. So it's really an issue for the teams who want to play Champions League or Europa League. For the rest, rest of the team, it's really an opportunity, because then they will be able to sell their players for much more money.
Sure.
Because in any case, the French players have been playing in England for a long time. Cantona and Ginola used to play for in England. The difference is that our clubs get more money.
Yeah, and a couple of the presidents have mentioned that it used to be, you know, the big players would go to Man United, Liverpool, whatever. Now you've got, you know, Crystal Palace, who was just promoted 2 years ago, buying Kabay for $15 million or whatever it was.
You know, I discussed with the former sport director of Canal Plus in France, and he mentioned a strong comment when he said, look, you know, I don't care too much about football stars. What I want in France is nice pitches, full stadium, really good show, a lot of goals, the kick and rush. And I know that you will welcome Don Garber from MLS. I went there many times. The level of football there, and I don't want to be disrespectful, it's improving. It's getting better and better. But the level is not really there, you know, from a tactic, strategy, or general level. But the show is there. They know how to welcome the fans. They know how to entertain them. They know how to put, you know, as really packaging, marketing the product in the first sense. And people, it's not that they care, that they don't care about the results, but it's really a fan experience. Mm-hmm. And it's everything around the match. Internationally, once again, it's different. You need football stars and you need great results in Champions League. But from a domestic perspective, you need to create a product. You need to create a show. I mean, it's really entertainment. And from that end, Toulouse Veretout, I'm sure you don't know this player, Veretout, Jordan Veretout. He has been sold €15 million to Aston Villa. From Nantes. I'm sure that that Ligue 1 will survive. And no disrespect to Jordan, who is a wonderful player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we really need to focus on everything we can to attract new fans, to keep them, to satisfy them, and to really package our product to be successful. And that's what we're trying to do.
And I fully agree that entertaining our public is vital. I don't think it's today, it's a priority, and it should be, because there are too many dull games. And the media will obviously reflect that there are, yet again, so many nil-nil scores and whatever. Mm-hmm. We want entertainment, take the risk of winning the game.
Where are you learning? So you want to, the team business operations that you talked about, where you've got a group at the league office who takes a best practice from one place and shares it with the other clubs, right? Something very successful out of the NBA, the National Basketball Association in the States, as you said. Major League Soccer has one up and running as well in the States. Where are those ideas coming from right now? Are you looking at other sports? Are you looking at other American sports? Are you looking at other football leagues around the world? Where are you getting these ideas from to better serve the fan? Who's doing it well?
I mean, in previous jobs, I have been very close to NBA.
Okay.
So it was easy for me to connect with them and then try, just ask for help. Mm-hmm. And try to be the bridge between the North American culture and the European culture, because you cannot duplicate the system which works in the States and to just implement it as it is in Europe, and in France notably. You have to convince clubs presidents. It's not easy, because you mentioned NBA, but I remember that NHL tried to do it, to duplicate it, and it failed. Because the club's presidents, they need to agree that they are not competitors from a business perspective, and that they can share best practices. I mean, in Lorient, he can try to help Evian in the Alps, because they are not in the same markets. This is the first challenge, to share the best practices. And also to protect confidentiality in terms of their commercial performances, but try to help them to set up some tools and to processes to compare, and then to isolate the potential to grow, or where they fail, or where they are not successful. And also to push the clubs to invest again on marketing, on commercial staff. That's what they don't do at the moment. They just put all their money on the squad, first team, period. Yeah. A little bit on the football academy, and that's it. So if you tell them, put 1 million and try to invest on, marketing, fan experience, it's going to be tough, because he said, I'm happy to do so, but if I go down to League Two, what then do I do?
Right.
I die slowly. So it's really a global effort, and that's what we're trying to do now, implementing a Timbo system on a centralized basis at a league level, and to really implement the best practices and to put some additional services to the benefit of the club, and to really, from that end, duplicate the Timbo system, where we send to the clubs for a couple of days some consultants in any kind of a RIA apart the media rights, which are centralized, so which is ticketing, hospitality, sponsorship, merchandising, and to help them out.
Okay, Victoriano, last question before we move on to the European Championships. There's a lot of talk even here in England about the Premier League and the influx of foreign players and the effect that's had on the English national team. Now, as far as them not being as successful as they would like to be, although their performance in the qualifying, pretty good, yeah. How's that relationship in France? What is the business of the French league meant for the national team?
Well, today our youth national team are performing quite well. We won the under-27 European Championship a few months ago. We will participate to the World Cup in Chile next month. And the same applies for either boys or women. So that's here again the demonstration that in terms of expertise, academies, we are performing quite well. So we do not see any major issue for the youth national team. Then for the A team, when you compare and when you see the squad in 1998, most of the players were already playing abroad, and we won the World Cup. So I don't think that for us it's an issue.
Good. Let's talk. Did you want to?
No, I just wanted to add to what Mathieu said, that we also need the help of the government. Because at the moment, we have rules and regulations and laws that don't help us. For instance, as Mathieu was saying, if you want to have good football matches, you have to play that on good pitches. Yeah. And here in England, in the Premier League or in the Bundesliga, you cannot play in the Premier League or in Bundesliga if you don't have undersoil heating in your ground. In France, the FA or the Football League, we cannot have in our rules that you need to have this kind of... because you can only impose things in terms of safety and security. We want that to be changed. At the moment, the turnover in terms of selling of beer in stadia in England or Germany. In France, you're not allowed to sell beer. So
Except for rugby.
Except for rugby or concerts, yes, but not for football. Mm-hmm. So what do our fans do? They drink outside the stadium. So they come in late in the stadium. They are drunk when they come in, rather than, you know, take time. No, it is very important because when they get drunk outside, they behave like drunk people and not like normal people. So, and in terms of income, it's huge. Yeah. So that's some easy decisions to make. We are trying, if there is anybody from the government over there, that would help.
Yeah, so they can get drunk, just please do it in our stadiums.
Yeah. I know, fantastic. But they are inside.
Yeah.
And they pay to your clubs.
Exactly. let's shift focus to next summer. Victoriano, there's obviously so many questions or even criticisms when a city or a country wants to host a big event, an Olympics, World Cup, Euros. Why does France want to host this event? What's in it for them?
So, well, as you mentioned, there is a lot of question about legacy. So everybody is speaking about legacy, but then it's an easy word, but then we've got to put something concrete behind the term legacy. So today, with respect to the Euro 2016, that's really the main objective of the French Federation, just to be sure that we will leave something to our people. So when I'm saying our people, I'm referring to our two million licensees, our volunteers, our coaches, educators. We've got more than 15,000 active clubs. So in order to do so, we put in place various projects. The first one is a kind of promotional tour, whereby we will go into 22 cities, mainly cities which are not hosting the event, just to make sure that the Euro 2016 will be a big event, not only for 10 cities, but for the whole country. So it's during one weekend in the center of the city, and a touring village with some animation pitches, just to demonstrate some demonstrations, and also, of course, some stands from our sponsors, for example, one from EDF to promote blind football. So that's what we're doing at the moment. We started in April this year, and we will end by beginning of June, and the village will stay in Paris during the world competition.
Okay.
So that's our first program. The second one is a program dedicated to schools. So again, we started last year. The purpose is to provide the schools with an initiation program around football. Our focus, we're really targeting 6 to 10 years old children, but that's not a one shot, because as you know, this year, for next year, we will organize Euro 2016, but in 2019, we will also organize the Women World Cup. So the idea right now, the name of the program is My Euro 2016. And then next year, by September 2016, we will change the name by My World Cup 2019, just to make sure that we are in place in the schools. Okay. And the last one, which is, of course, well, the most important one, because we've got a 40 million budget dedicated to the financing of project. Here, well, this kind of legacy program had been also played in 1998, but the point is that it was funded by the profits of the organizing committee, meaning that, of course, the investment took place after the World Cup. Here, this project is already funded by UEFA and the French FA, and with an objective to make sure that the 40 million will be invested at the beginning of the competition so that the people will see concretely what the Euro 2016 brought to them. So we've got three type of project. We've got the first one, which is the most important one. It's about equipment, just to modernize our clubs. So the envelope is around 27 million. We should reach almost 10% of the club. We are not financing pitches, because otherwise we will not be able to finance so many projects. So we're financing, for example, minivans, dressing rooms. So for example, it will allow a club to open a woman section for the club, lighting, just to extend the time available to play on the pitch. So this kind of small project, but just to make sure that we will cover the maximum of clubs. The second category is about training. Here, our target is to reach 100% of the clubs. So we are financing the training fees for coaches, educators, and volunteers. and with an objective to train around 30,000-35,000 people by the end of next year. And the last one is just about financing some animation for the clubs. Okay. So the main objective here is really to be ready at the end of the competition so that for the existing players, but of course with the new players who will come after the event, to have the equipment and the people able to welcome these our players.
There are, you mentioned stadiums, obviously, talking about what happened or didn't happen last time and what happened in Germany and all. What is the stadium plan? Can you take us through that? How many stadiums are you going to use? How many will be built?
What's really important is that we will have 9 new or renovated stadia. 3 of them, a new stadium, are already in operation at Lille, at Nice and Bordeaux. The Lyon new stadium will be ready for January, end of December, January. And we, Paris Saint-Germain, have renovated their own stadium, Parc des Princes, with more hospitality suites, and also Saint-Etienne and Toulouse and Lens have been renovating their stadia. So that means that, contrarily to 1998, this time the clubs who play in this stadia will have properly new and modern stadia with more hospitality spaces, for instance. And so our task is to explain to our presidents that they will not have to win all their games to fill in their stadium, but there are other ways to do it. And we tell them that winning games is not a commercial strategy, which is true, but at the moment it's what they think.
Yeah.
They think, if I win games, they will come. If I don't win games, they will not come. And in actual fact, sometimes it's true, because they don't do... don't use other techniques and the marketing, communication, and so on and so forth. So, as Matthew was explaining, we are bringing up to them the best practices elsewhere. And what we feel is that there is a change in their attitude. They are beginning to understand, yes, it is possible. And this is a nice change, an encouraging one.
If it makes you feel any better, I was speaking with somebody who runs a National Football League franchise, and I said, what is your marketing strategy for the upcoming season, because you haven't been so good the last couple of years? And he said to me, we're going to be a lot better next year on the field.
Okay.
And I said, that's your strategy? Yeah, that's our marketing strategy. Okay. So you're not a...
We'll invite him to our next seminar in November.
You mentioned all these new stadiums and all these renovations. Who's paying for it all? Where's this money coming from?
That's interesting. I think Victoriano could say more about it. The general cost is about 2 billion euros in terms of stadia. It's 1.6 billion for building and renovation, and about 400 million in terms of accesses to the stadia and so on. So there have been subsidies from the government. I couldn't remember the amount, but there were some subsidies. And generally speaking, it's the local authorities that are funding the stadia, because it's a tradition in our country. It's always the local authorities who fund stadia or arenas or whatever. Only one club, Lyon, which in terms of vision are very often ahead of the others, who are funding their own stadium. So it will be their stadium which they will run. And it's not by chance that their president visited many stadia through the world, and he decided that it would be like the Emirates Stadium in London, and he picked the same architect, and I think it will be a huge success. The problem we have is that too many of the local authorities have used the PPP, the private public partnership, which means that instead of having one owner and one operator, you have one owner, one operator, and the club. And this makes things very difficult, because the relationship between the operators and the club is, as we can see it at this moment, very difficult, because for the operators, it's a problem to play football matches. They would rather have concerts or whatever, but football matches is a problem for them, which is our main business. So... And there was a survey from the Senate a few months ago that said local authorities should not use the PPP But in terms of our stadia, it's too late.
But 10 years ago, there was also a report exactly. from the Senate saying that the best way to finance the stadium was the PPP. It's certain that in terms of financing, that was the best way. Because, of course, a private company are financing the stadium with the guarantee of the local municipalities. However, we see that the model in terms of operation of the stadium does not work because there is always a conflict between the operator. We want to make the maximum of revenues, so with football, of course, but with other events, and the clubs, and also sometimes also the municipality. So initially there were only two actors. Right now there is three, so it was already complex. Yeah. Right now it's even
now
more complex.
It's just impossible. But also it increases the cost because it's not a secret because it's been said in the press that a club like Lille, who have a brand new stadium on a PPP system, they have such huge costs that now that they average 35,000 spectators, which is better than their 18,000 in their old stadium, they just make 1 million net in terms of revenues, which is just ridiculous in terms of business. Okay. So that's a huge problem that will have to be tackled in the next few years because for sure it's not going to work. So we will all together have to find solutions.
So all this influx is coming into stadiums now as a one-off with the European Championships coming. We hear stories from time to time after an Olympics or an event like that where new stadiums are developed or new venues are developed. And then the event goes away, and eventually they go into disrepair. There's not money to upkeep them. There's not events to keep them. Is that a concern? Do you have a plan for that going forward?
I don't think... I think the stadia who have been built or renovated have been done in a way that their capacity is in proper relation with the potential of the city or the region. There has not been a big increase in terms of capacity. There have been some increases, but it's been more in terms of having modern stadia, as I said before, with more hospitality lounges and so on and so forth. So I hopefully, and provided that the presidents do understand our message and bring the best practices and bring more spectators that in survey says, I'm interested in football, but I don't go and watch football. So we have to bring those people, and then we will come nearer to England or Germany.
And there is a huge difference when you mention the Olympics, Ben, because it's a one-off, and you cannot compare Sochi, for example, infrastructures with the Euro, because all the stadia, whether they have been fully renovated or brand new, will continue to be fully exploited, notably because you have some host teams everywhere. And even if our teams, they don't feel sometimes fully at home, like in Lille, that's true, they are not fully at home, because they have to deal with other concerts or other events, or you know, our calendar is impacted because I don't know if you have looked at the Euro Basketball Championship. It's happening in France at the moment, and Lille is one of the big sites, and then some matches of Lille had to be postponed. Because the site is at the moment used by the Euro Championship, Basketball Euro Championship. But to the extent we have no concern that our infrastructures will be fully exploited, it's just that we have to focus and make sure that it is fully optimized.
And make the presidents understand that maybe they don't need five left backs, maybe four will be enough, and a proper marketing manager.
Okay.
Instead. And if you could play left back, even better.
Returno, how outside of stadiums, how are plans coming along for the event?
I'm sorry?
How are plans coming along for the European Championships?
So far, everything is going very well. So, you know, by the organization of the event, we've got an organizing committee, which is a company set up by UEFA. Managed by Jacques Lambert, who was also in charge of the World Cup in 1998, but also of the Olympics in 1992. So a very great experience and expertise in terms of organizing international sporting events. So that's on the operational side. On the economic side, it's managed directly by UEFA and CA11, so, and it's going pretty well. And for with respect to the French Federation, so far we are in charge of the recruitment of the volunteers. So there will be around 7,000 volunteers for the Euro. We launched the program in June, and we already have 15,000 requests to be volunteers for the event. So far everything is going very well.
Good. You mentioned studying with the stadiums what happened when you hosted the World Cup in 98 and other events. What other events have you studied recently, and what have you learned from? Did you study Brazil, the last World Cup, and find things that worked and didn't work there? What other events have you?
No, but the only one we did was the Women World Cup in Canada for our organization in 2019. So far we are waiting for the debriefing from FIFA, but also debriefing from the local organizing committee in Canada. I'm not sure that they will have the same perception of the organization of the event. Mm-hmm. But so far, the organization of a World Cup and a Euro is very different because, as I mentioned, the organizing committee is really managed by UEFA, which is not the case with the World Cup. The World Cup for a federation is much more interesting because you will have more rights. First of all, you've got some economic rights with your local partners, which is not the case for a Euro. And then you are very much more implied. The implication of the federation is much more important than for the Euro. So far we did not go through other events. What we are doing, on the contrary, that we are giving some expertise for the next sporting events which will take place in France, notably the Handball Championship in 2017, but also working a bit with the Ryder Cup.
Okay. Is there any challenges, any concerns between now and next summer?
Well, the main challenge for all the parties is the security, of course. The security is an issue, not only within the stadium, because we are all very well organized with respect to security. The concern will be with the fan zone. That the will of the UEFA, the will of the French government, of the French Federation to have fan zone in all the cities. But then, of course, with the international context, there is some security matters. So that's today our main point of focus with the three entities involved, the UEFA, French government, and the French Federation. But otherwise, everything is going well. They launched the ticketing during a one-month period, so they thought almost everything. The figures are a bit different from what it was expected by UEFA, because normally we expected to have 60% sold to French market and 40% abroad. Indeed, that the opposite. 60% of the tickets have been sold abroad and only 40% in France. And the demand coming mainly, the first country I think is Germany, and the second one is England.
Oh, wow. Okay. Brits abroad, uh-oh. How do you want the tournament to be remembered?
France will win.
Anything else?
No.
You sound like the marketing directors from the teams.
Yeah. France winning is a good one. Mm. No, that's... is that the people who will visit us will keep a good souvenir of the tournament. Of course, security, but also fan experience. Mm. France in general. And coming back good souvenirs of the event, generally speaking. When you talk about legacy, it's a part of legacy. And for our image, and there is no direct return on investment. It's just a long way where we have to provide a very positive image as far as France and French football is concerned.
But as mentioned by Mathieu, it's important to also change the image of football. Today, for some part of the public, the image is just a billionaire, mm-hmm. a player having a Ferrari, Lamborghini, and costing 80 million euros. So our aim also, and that will be part of our program with the club, is just to open our clubs and just to show, to demonstrate to the people what is grassroots, to put a focus on all the volunteers. So we've got to take the opportunity also to make understand to people what is football. Football is people going on Wednesday to train kids, having them playing all about the weekend. So we've got to really take the opportunity of this event to show that football is not only billionaires, but it's lots of people, and it has some values other than just winning the match.
So that is vital for grassroots football, which we really need, and hopefully a new era in terms of the economics of our professional football clubs.
Well, you wouldn't guarantee for me that Platini was going to win, so I could go to my bookmaker. But can I go to my bookmaker about France winning next summer? Yes?
No.
No guarantees? Come on, gentlemen. I needed more help than that. Thank you very much for joining me today. This was fantastic.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you.
And if you will stay with us, we are very excited in just a moment to welcome to the stage Major League Soccer's Commissioner Don Garber, who will be joining us in just a moment.